It's April 17th, and we have been studying your operation of the God-given ability, looking at the manifestations of the gift of Holy Spirit that all of us have, and all of us can do all of these things. And we looked at Spirit in general, we looked at the gift of Holy Spirit, we saw that there's 9 manifestations of the one gift. We looked at the utterance manifestations of speaking in tongues, interpretation and prophecy. And now we're looking at the revelation manifestations of word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. And we looked at how God taught Jeremiah, the prophet, when he was a young man, how to receive revelation and what was required to be a prophet. And last week we looked at Samuel, and how he started out as a little boy, grew up some, became a teenager, and God called his name, and he learned to respond when his name was called by saying, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." So he did that, and God spoke to him. He gave him information, things that only God would be able to tell him, and then it was confirmed to him that it was actually God, and the information was accurate. And then Samuel grew on to be a prophet of God, and everybody knew that if Samuel said something, it would surely come to pass. Now, we're going to look at more about Samuel this evening, because Samuel's kind of unique in that we see him grow up and learn how to receive revelation and become a prophet, and it's kind of like we know him, you know? And we see how God talks to him personally and shows him things. And as he continues to go on, we'll see God talking with him more and more. Some of the things that we'll read will just be Samuel speaking things or doing things that God had told him to do. And we know from the other examples that God will have told him what was going on, gave him the information that he needed, and then gave him instructions on what to say and what to do. So in some of the records, we'll just see the results of him speaking or doing those things. In some of them, we'll see the inner workings of God speaking to him. But we'll cover a few chapters, so we better get busy. It'll be a lot of story time tonight, which is always a lot of fun. So, chapter 9, 1 Samuel chapter 9. And in this chapter, we'll see Saul being introduced and Samuel meeting Saul and things that God tells Samuel, which are just so cool. So verse 1 says, "Now there was a man of Benjamin," that's the tribe of Benjamin, "whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power." So he was a wealthy man. "And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he." Means he was a handsome guy, good looking, strong. And it says, "From his shoulders and upward he was higher than any of the people." So he was the tallest man in all of Israel by like a foot or more. "And the asses of Kish," Saul's father, "were lost." That's the donkeys. "And Kish said to Saul, his son, 'Take now one of the servants with thee and arise and go seek the asses.'" Try to find him, bring him back. "And he passed through Mount Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, and there they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. And when they were come to the land of Zuph," remember Zuph was the great-great-grandfather of Samuel that we read last week. "So they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, 'Come and let us return, go back home, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us.'" He's going to be worried about us because we've been gone so long. And they didn't have cell phones back then, you know. Verse 6, "And he said unto him, 'Behold now, there is in this city a man of God.'" And he's talking about Samuel here. "And he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither, peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. Then said Saul to his servant, But behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels. There is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? So I guess it was customary to have a little gift for a man of God if you were going to go visit him and ask him a favor. And the servant answered Saul again and said, Behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. Verse 9 says, Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, Come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Now, the word seer means one who sees, okay? The Hebrew word means to see, to perceive, to have vision, all right? Now, the word prophet, the Hebrew word that's translated prophet, is the word nabi, and it means a spokesman, someone who speaks for another. So, the one word seer would have the emphasis on the receiving of the revelation. Okay, being able to see the visions that God would show him. So it has to do with the receiving. The word prophet has to do with the speaking forth. Okay, but the same person can be described either way, because the same person who's a prophet has to first receive the information from God and the instructions from God, and then he can speak it forth if he's instructed to do so. Okay, verse 10, Then said Saul to his servant, Well said, come, let us go. So they went unto the city where the man of God was. And as they went up the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water, and said unto them, Is the seer here? And they answered them and said, He is. Behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he came today to the city, for there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. So he would offer a sacrifice and invite certain people to eat the animal that was offered at the sacrifice. Verse 13, As soon as ye be come into the city, ye shall straightway find him before he go up to the high place to eat. So the high place would be on a hill, and that's where they would have the sacrifice. For the people will not come to eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice, and afterwards they eat that be bidden. Means only the ones that are invited. Now therefore get you up, for about this time ye shall find him. And they went up into the city, and when they were come into the city, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go up to the high place. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear, a day before Saul came. So this is just so cool. God talked to him in his ear, so he heard it audibly, okay? He heard the voice of God talking in his ear the day before Saul came, saying, Tomorrow about this time, I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin. And thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people because their cry is come unto me. So that was God's words to Samuel. So he gave him some word of knowledge. Tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin. That would be a word of knowledge. Okay, information that Samuel would not have been able to know by his five senses. Then the next phrase says, And thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel. That would be word of wisdom, because it tells Samuel what he is to do. Okay, and then he goes on, That he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. That would be word of knowledge again, what Saul would do. For I have looked upon my people because their cry is come unto me. Again, word of knowledge. Okay, not instruction, but information on that last phrase. Verse 17, And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, Behold, the man whom I spake to thee of, this same shall reign over my people. So that would be word of knowledge, because Samuel up to this point didn't know who that person would be, or what he looked like. But now he knew because God spoke to him when Samuel saw Saul. God said, this is the one. Okay? It's just so cool. So sometimes God gives information in advance, but not necessarily all of the information, but enough to get to that point, and then he can give more information as you go along. Okay? So the day before, he told him, I'm going to send you a man that is out of the land of Benjamin, and you are going to anoint him to be captain over my people. So enough information to know that he would be doing this, and now the specific of exactly who this is. Verse 18, then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is. So Saul did not know who the seer was, just that there was one, and didn't know what he looked like because he's right in front of him and doesn't know that he's the seer. Okay, so he's asking Samuel, do you know where this seer's house is? And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me into the high place, for ye shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go, and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. Okay? Must have taken Saul by surprise. He heard that there was a sacrifice and only those that were invited would be able to eat there. Now he's finding out that he's invited by someone that he didn't know up to this point. Now look at verse 20. And as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and on all thy father's house? So first of all, he tells him about the asses. Saul didn't say anything about the asses, did he? It must have just blown his mind that here he's been looking for the asses, and this man of God tells him the asses that were lost are found. So he tells him that, and then he says something else. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and on all thy father's house? Now, Saul might have heard that the people had been requesting a king. And now Samuel says, all the desire of Israel is on you and on your father's house. And Saul answered and said, am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore, or why then, speakest thou so to me? Now, you'd think that after getting the information about the asses, he would realize that this man knows things. He's speaking information that God tells him. But when it comes to him being desired by all of Israel, he has a little trouble taking that in. He's going to need some more convincing. Verse 22, and Samuel took Saul and his servant, brought them into the parlor, made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. And Samuel said unto the cook, bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, set it by thee. So he had all this planned out ahead of time. And the cook took up the shoulder and that which was upon it and set it before Saul. So the shoulder was the choice piece. That was the part that would normally go to the high priest when a sacrifice was being done. And Samuel said, behold that which is left. And it doesn't mean it was a leftover. It means left in the sense of being reserved for you. Behold that which is reserved. Set it before thee and eat. For unto this time hath it been kept for thee, since I said I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. Again, earlier that day, he had no idea he was invited to this thing, and now he said he's been expected. Now remember, God had told Samuel that he had sent a man of the tribe of Benjamin that Samuel would anoint king. And, you know, Saul, he's just trying to find his father's lost asses, and they happen to come here. But it was really God that sent him that way. God knew he would be coming there, and Samuel knew what would happen. Verse 25, and when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. And they arose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, up, that I may send thee away. And Saul arose, and they went out, both of them, he and Samuel, abroad, outside the city. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Bid the servant pass on. You tell your servant to go on further before us." And he passed on. "But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God." Let him know that what I'm going to tell you now is not from me, it's from God. Chapter 10, verse 1. Then Samuel took a vial of oil, that would be just some container that he could open and pour it on him, and he poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?" So he's doing this on behalf of God. He said, "The Lord has anointed you to be captain over his inheritance." That would be king over all of his people. "When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say unto thee, 'The asses which thou wentest to seek are found. And lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorroweth for you, saying, What shall I do for my son?'" So he's telling him all this. This would have been word of knowledge, okay, that this is going to happen. And he would have also had a word of wisdom to say this to Saul, because word of knowledge is not necessarily in every case spoken once God reveals it to you. So God would reveal to Samuel what was going to happen and also give Samuel the instruction, word of wisdom, to say this to Saul at this time. We'll continue on with what Samuel is telling Saul. "Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, little goats, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee, they'll greet thee, and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets." There'll be a group of them. "Prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp, musical instruments before them, and they shall prophesy." Doesn't say what they're going to say. And it doesn't say whether they're going to prophesy by what has been revealed to them or if it's inspired utterance. Could be either one, we just don't know. "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, Saul, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man." Said, this is going to change your life. The Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon you, and you will prophesy, you will speak for God. "And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee." So from that point forward, you'll have the Spirit of God, and whatever situation you happen to be in, God will be able to tell you what to do. So make sure you listen. Verse 8, "And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do." Okay? So you're going to have the Spirit of God on you, but still, God's going to tell me what to tell you to do. So make sure you wait for me when that happens in Gilgal. "And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him. And the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets, then the people said one to another, 'What is this that has come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?'" It surprised everybody. And again, it changed Saul, so he was like a different person. Now, verse 17, just a little farther down the chapter, where it says, "And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah." So he held a meeting of everybody in Israel to come into this place called Mizpah. "And he said unto the children of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." So now he's speaking for God, saying, "These are the words that God has said. I brought Israel out of Egypt, and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all kingdoms and of them that oppressed you. So he's talking to them as if these individuals were there. They are descendants of the ones. But as far as God's concerned, they're all children of Israel. God sees the continuity over the hundreds of years since this had happened. But he said, I brought you up out of Egypt. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of all kingdoms, and of them that oppressed you. And ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations. And ye have said unto him, Nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. So he told them, in asking for a king, you rejected God, because he was reigning over you all this time with judges, prophets that would speak for God. But they said, no, we want a king to reign over us. And he said, it was not a good thing that you asked, but we're going to do it for you because you asked. So present yourselves by your tribes, by your thousands. Verse 20, and when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. And when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken, or chosen. And when they sought him, he could not be found. They said, okay, where is Saul? Nobody could find him. He didn't show up at the meeting. This is the meeting where he's supposed to be anointed to be king, and he's not there. Verse 22, therefore they inquired of the Lord further if the man should yet come hither. I mean, said, is this really the guy? Do we need to pick somebody else? And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. So you go to where his stuff is, you'll find him hiding among the stuff. Nice opening day for the king, huh? And they ran and fetched him thence, and when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. And Samuel said to all the people, see ye whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. So I just think that's kind of funny, though, that he was hiding. And nobody knew where he was, but God knew where he was, and God told them where to find him. That would have been a word of knowledge, information that they couldn't know by their five senses. So let's go down to chapter 13. This is the second year of Saul's reign, and we're going to pick it up in verse 5. The Philistines are attacking with a huge army. Verse 5 says, and the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward from Bethaven. So a huge army of the Philistines, their enemies. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, like between a rock and a hard place, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days. Now remember, before Samuel anointed him king, he told them, I'm going to meet you in Gilgal, wait for me 7 days, and I'll tell you what to do. This is what he's talking about. So he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. They started leaving, getting scared, deserting. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings, and he offered the burnt offering. Now, he's the king, but he's not a priest. The king does not have the authority to offer burnt offerings on the altar. That's the priest's job. That's something Samuel could do, because he was like acting priest, and he was a Levite. But Saul was not. Saul did not have that authority. Verse 10, and it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, What hast thou done? And Saul said, Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, therefore said I, The Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. I made myself do it. And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Now, who would have the authority to say that to the king, the prophet, that by God's instruction had anointed him to be king? Remember, a prophet is above a king in authority. So Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Reproof. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Pretty harsh words, and something that he would not dare say without the revelation from God, the information and the instruction to do it, the word of knowledge that this had happened and this is what God was doing, and the word of wisdom to go to Saul and tell him these things. Okay? But Samuel had much experience at this point walking with God on things like this. Now, let's go to chapter 15. So Saul continues to be king. Samuel told Saul that God had chosen somebody else. Now that somebody else, we'll find it, will be David. David doesn't yet know this, but God does, okay? God knows what he's going to do. Chapter 15, verse 1, Samuel also said unto Saul, The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Said, Saul, you know, you haven't always listened and done it right in the past, but do it this time. Okay, listen to what I tell you, because it's from the words of God. Verse 2, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Remember, that was the first battle that Israel fought after they left Egypt, was against the Amalekites, who attacked them when they were thirsty and tired and in a weakened position. And God said at that time, there's always going to be war against him and Amalek. So he's reminding him of that. Verse 3, Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Sounds a little harsh, but that was the word of God. And remember, there is no darkness in God. God is light. There's no darkness at all. So this would have been the right thing to do. Okay? There was no evil in this. Might seem evil to the Amalekites, but from God's point of view, this must be done. And it's Saul's job to carry this out. Verse 4. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim 200,000 footmen. That's a big army, and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. He was supposed to kill him, every one of them, but he took him alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword, except for the king. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep. They were supposed to kill all the sheep and of the oxen. So they spared Agag, and they spared the best of the sheep, and the best of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they utterly destroyed. didn't quite follow the instructions. Verse 10, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Now, when it says repenteth, that means he was sorry that he did it. And the word repent, nacham, means to sigh, to breathe strongly. So it made God go, ah. He was very disappointed in Saul. He had chosen this man. He was the best man for the job at the point that he chose him, but he didn't do what God told him to do. Now, Saul had his free will, and by his free will, he chose not to do everything that God said. Verse 12, and when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, O blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? I thought I told you to kill all the animals as well as all the people. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. And Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore, why then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst lie upon the spoil? That means you grabbed all the good stuff, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. So they will wind up dead anyway. They'll be sacrificed. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And finally, Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. See, by word of knowledge, you would know that God rejected him. God told him, and God told him to tell him this word of wisdom to say so. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he, meaning Saul, laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, of Samuel's mantle, and it rent. So he said, no, stay. Don't go away. And his clothing ripped, a piece of it tore off. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Now, it did say that it repented God that he had made him king, but now that he said, look, you've lost the kingdom, it's going to be given to somebody else, God is not going to change his mind about that. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel. Apparently that was more important to him than doing what was right before God. And turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord. Then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately, And Agag said, "Surely the bitterness of death is past." And Samuel said, "As thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women." And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah. Saul went up to his house, to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Now let's go to chapter 16. We have just enough time to cover this record where David is anointed to be king, and this is so cool. Chapter 16, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul?" Because it must have been a long time that Samuel was just heartbroken. You know, here's the man that he had anointed at God's direction, and it just turned out so badly. So the Lord said unto Samuel, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." So he didn't say which one of his sons, but he knew the right family to go to. And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." So that doesn't speak well of Saul, that he would kill a man of God. But it also shows us that Saul, even though he was reluctant to be king in the beginning, he hid himself among the stuff. Now he would kill to keep his position as king over Israel. So Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord, and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee." So I'm not going to tell you which one it is now, but I'll tell you which one it is when you get there. And don't worry, you'll be okay. So that was word of wisdom. You see that? So the word of knowledge that God had provided a king among the sons of Jesse the Bethlehemite. Very specific information that he could not have known by his five senses. He already knew that God had rejected Saul from being king, but now he gets new information by word of knowledge that God had selected a king from the family of Jesse the Bethlehemite. Okay? And the word of wisdom was to go with a heifer to have a sacrifice and invite Jesse to the sacrifice. And the further word of wisdom is, "I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee." And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, which he always did. He was a faithful man. And he came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Comest thou peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably, calm down, everything's all right. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified or separated out Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." So Eliab was the oldest of Jesse's sons. So he looked at him and said, "This has got to be the guy." But, verse 7, the Lord said unto Samuel, and this is the really cool part. The Lord said unto Samuel, nobody else heard this, but Samuel did. The Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not on his countenance," you know, how good looking he is, "or on the height of his stature," how tall he is. Now, Saul was the tallest man of all of Israel. Eliab was a tall man. But he said, it's not the tallness that makes it, okay? So don't look on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. He knows what's inside that person. He knows his thoughts. He knows the way that he thinks. He knows whether he's a man that honors God or not. Then Jesse called Abinadab, that would have been the second one, and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, "The Lord hath not chosen these." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" So there are only seven of them there. Samuel didn't know that there are any others than these seven. And all seven, God told them, not the one. So Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "Oh, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." We're going to stand up. We're not going to sit down until you bring him. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, goodly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." And it wasn't just because he was good looking. It was God knew what was in his heart. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So we're going to stop here. But just look how God worked with Samuel. Told him things ahead of time, and he told him things when he was right in the spot in the situation. And God works that way. Sometimes God will tell you, go to a certain place, talk to a certain person. He doesn't necessarily tell you what to do yet until you actually get there. Because if you never get there, then it doesn't matter, does it? So you have to take the first step that God gives you. Once you take that first step, then God will have more information for you. Okay? So the idea is to trust him, even if you don't know how the whole thing is going to work out yet. You trust God, because if God gives you information, it's accurate information. If he gives you instructions, then be sure to obey those instructions and to obey them exactly the way he tells you, okay? So if he doesn't give you much information, just go by what information you have. But if he gives you specific information, then follow everything that he tells you, okay? Now, we don't have the same kind of pressure on us as they did, like Saul, even Samuel. They were not children of God. They were men that had the Spirit of God upon them. Remember in the Old Testament times before Pentecost? That didn't make them sons of God. It made them servants of God that were equipped to do the Master's bidding. We have this gift of Holy Spirit that makes us children. So the main thing for us that this gift of Holy Spirit does is it establishes a relationship with God as children, and it's eternal life, which the Old Testament Spirit didn't give eternal life, okay? It gave abilities, it gave a way of communicating between God and people, but it didn't give them eternal life. Our gift of Holy Spirit does. So we can learn from these records in the Old Testament as far as how revelation functions, but always keep in mind that we have something that Jesus Christ had to die for, be raised again and ascend to the right hand of God to make this available to pour out to people, and we've received that, okay? We have everlasting life as children of God, but it also includes the utility of being able to speak for God, to be able to receive information from God, and to demonstrate the power of God with faith, miracles, and healing. But that's all for tonight. So God bless everybody. We'll see you again soon.